T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're joined in studio by Kevin Adams. He is the Sabres Vice President of Business Administration to cover a lot of things. Good morning, first of all.
Good morning.
And thank you for not bringing in your Stanley Cup ring.
I always think about that when I'm going to talk to you, because you always ask me.
One time you brought it.
I got to tell you a funny story, though, from last night. So I was with Terry Pagula and Tom Golisano, and Terry said, "Hey, why don't you meet Kevin Adams?" He goes, "I know who he is." And I said, "Oh." He goes, "You broke our heart."
That's right.
And I said, I understand, Mr.
Please
Golisano.
Tell me you didn't wear it last night.
Like I did not. I understand.
I would hope you didn't even say hi to the 0506 guys.
I gave a few hugs in the locker room before, and they gave a few rib punches. And okay. You know what? It's a lot of years go by, but you know, even when I talk to guys about it, you know, just the emotion comes back right away. I'll say this: I don't talk about it a lot in my job. Yeah. It doesn't come up in the office very often.
It's a sore spot.
I mean, Michael Pekka said the next round was the Stanley Cup final, obviously, yep. And we beat Edmonton in Game 7. He said for a year straight, whenever he thought about that, he broke down and cried. I mean, it's so hard. Once you've put everything into something, you get so close, from players to fans, everybody included.
See, you didn't walk over to McKee and go, "Hey, how's that staph infection? Is it healed?"
No, but he has brought up. He said thank you a couple. Yeah. He said, "You should be thanking me."
It's amazing how you implanted that virus in the locker room.
Watching that video montage last night, some of those teams, I know it brought back memories of you two, for you two, just how passionate everybody was about that team and into it, but how good, how talented those players were that played in those teams.
Well, you know, you think about that 05-06 season, there was so much going into that year unknown. We came coming out of the lockout. How was the league going to be? How were the fans going to receive us after being gone for a year? And then the strange part of that way that season played out is Carolina and Buffalo were kind of under the radar early. No one knew how good Jason Pominville was going to be. No one knew how good Eric Staal was going to be. So there was these kind of mirror teams, and then ultimately finding our way to meet each other. So it was it was one of those things. It was like we were destined to play, and then of course go in Game 7, and we don't need to keep talking. I know it gets you guys upset.
So. You guys, well, no, I mean it's been solely 13 years ago, 14 years ago. Anyway, so you're on the business side, and we wanted to talk to you. It's been a challenging season, to say the least, on the hockey side, but also on the business side, too. And a lot of fans, you hear that anger, you hear that frustration. You were out there Saturday when some fans were down there for the protest. I guess, first off, in a bigger picture, does the organization understand that frustration and the anger that is coming from the fans these days, and why it's coming from the fans, and then we'll go on beyond that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, as you mentioned, Saturday I was there when the fans were out in the plaza. I walked around, I talked to people, and I actually, to be honest, thanked them, because the passion's there. And, you know, for me, and I've said this to a lot of people around our organization, that we all understand that we're fortunate to have such a passionate fan base. We get it. We understand where they're at. And obviously, I'm in a unique position being from here and growing up, going to the Yacht, and Gilbert Perreault was my guy. You know what I mean? So I totally understand how ingrained this passion is in the community. But I need to make sure everybody understands. You know, nobody's invested more into this team and community than Terry and Ken Pegula. They're completely engaged. They understand the frustration. They share in it. You know, we're all in this together. And that's been the message from Terry and Kim down through the organization, is we're all a piece of the puzzle, including fans, you know, players, front office. It all has to work together. And that's been the message.
You mentioned the Pegulas. And I think, Kevin, that's part of it. The one of the things that's frustrating for the fans is, hey, where are the Pegulas? Where are the owners? Why don't they say something? So barring them holding a press conference, you do deal with them on a regular basis. What can you tell the fans in terms of a message from ownership at this point?
They're as accessible and engaged as they've ever been. You know, just from myself and, you know, the business side of the organization, talk on a daily basis to Terry and Kim. I know Jason does as well on the hockey side. And you know, what should give fans hope is that we're being challenged by the Pagulas to let's figure out every area of our business to make it better. What can we do through, you know, league metrics, looking at studying around the league? Where are we with certain things compared to other teams in the league? Where are we with our fan surveys? What are our fans telling us? How can we improve? Even our own analytics saying, okay, what are these saying to us, and how can we improve the fan experience? I mean, these are all ongoing conversations that come from Terry and Kim at the top. And so I just think it's really important that our fans understand, just because they haven't sat out and held a press conference doesn't mean they're not engaged. They love this team, they love this community, and they're all in.
And then obviously the Sabre, the 50th season celebration, it's been a success. Overall, everything's been, you know, really, I mean, Odd Night was amazing. You know, going to see it look like the Odd back then. Obviously, some challenges have come along the way, though. Can you kind of address some of the fans' concerns and things that have happened along the way, some bumps in the road?
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, though, Sal, because I think, you know, there's been some things that have happened here or there, but it's been a phenomenal year of celebrating this great organization. And like you said, the theme nights and the decade nights have been really well received. Our alumni have been, I mean, thrilled to come back. And so for me, kind of, it's been a neat, it's 70s and 80s, and a lot of these guys I watched, you know. And so, I didn't want to make them feel old, but I said, guys, you know, it's cool to be in the room with you guys, and thanks for coming back. And then all the way through to last night, I thought it was a great celebration, and we obviously have more to come. But yeah, you know, I'm sure that the two biggest things that jump out to fans, or that's been talked about, and I want to make sure that the fans know we heard them and we recognized it, was, you know, there was a lot made of Mike Robitaille jersey. And you know, and I mentioned this to some media yesterday, but the reality of that story is he's had that jersey a long time. He knows it was spelled wrong, and he wears it from time to time. And he brought it himself that night. He showed up and he threw it on. You know, so it's what it is, those things can happen. But, you know, in terms of Dave Anderchuk, I would say this. There's a positive and negative to Dave Anderchuk's situation, I'll call it. The negative was his jersey was misspelled. The positive was, in the hallway before he went on the ice, a staff member caught it, was able to swap it out. He did not wear it on the ice, misspelled. And it leads to me, it leads to a bigger discussion organizationally, is accountability. And mistakes are going to happen. You know, I think, and maybe that's the player in me back to my old days, is that you don't point fingers. You say, okay, what did we learn? How do we be better? You don't, if your teammate does something, you don't go after your teammate. You say, okay, let's learn from this. And that's kind of the mentality, and that we've organizationally talked about since that. Okay, what can we do differently? We make sure these things don't happen. But for me, I just want to make sure that another takeaway for the fans is they realize how proud and connected our alumni are. They're all in. They're engaged. They feel really proud of these great nights that Terry and Kim have brought them back for. And, you know, I can speak to it of playing for six teams in this league. Nobody treats the alumni like Terry and Kim do. The players know that.
And last weekend, there were some fans that showed up down at the arena to let their voice be heard. And I know you actually went down there and you engaged some of them. Can you tell us what that was like for you?
Yeah, you know, I think it's just part of, I think it's part of our responsibility as an organization, is to look people in the eye, listen, and understand their frustration and say, we're with you. You know we want it. We need to be better in every area of our organization. And Terry and Kim, and down through the organization, all feel that way. So I just felt it was important that, you know, staff members, we were there, walking around, saying hello. And like I said, there are markets in the National Hockey League that would die to have fans that passionate, that are willing to whether call into radio stations or stand out in a plaza in 15-degree weather. So I just, for me, that's easy. Those are the things that we just, we want to be, make sure we're out there and engaged and talking and listening.
I wanted to ask you, Sal brought up the jerseys, and I think it's funny. I think you understand that you have the business side has no control over the hockey side. You're going to win, you're going to lose. You can't predict that. But you know when you're losing, everything else is magnified like 1,000%. So I think part of that frustration is because fans will look at it and go, I know you can't control whether we're going to score five goals or give up five or what. But the jerseys, the throwback jersey, that's another point of contention this year on 90s night. Can you talk a little bit about what happened with that?
Yeah, so the decade nights, you know, and it's kind of a long answer to the question, but the decade nights, they don't make authentic, Adidas doesn't make authentic jerseys from the different eras. But so organizationally, we wanted to kind of celebrate the nostalgia of the different eras. So ordering jerseys at 70s, 80s, you know, mm-hmm. 90s. Obviously, 70s and 80s was the same process. It was well received. We heard, you know, from our fans that they didn't like the 90s, and that's why we pivoted last night. We put our alumni in the 50th jerseys. Obviously, that jersey's been incredible, and I think across the league, everybody loves it. But, and I mentioned this yesterday, that there was a deadline missed by previous leadership in terms of being able to wear that jersey for warm-up. There's new leadership now. We acknowledge it and we move on and we work to be better.
Last night you were asked about a fan advisory board. I was wondering about that because to me, I think, you know, again, on the business side, you always have to make sure this any season, you never want to lose that connection with your fan base. Older fans, younger fans, really doesn't matter. You talked about it. A young kid going to the odd and you could become a fan for life. How do you make sure in a season like this that the organization doesn't lose, damage, do anything to affect that connection with the fan base?
It is probably the most important thing we could do right now is being engaged and listening. I believe, and this is such a great hockey community, that the 5-6-year-old that listens to RJ or, you know, watches Jack Eichel score a big goal is a fan for life. Yep. And so we have to, as an organization, be putting ourselves in a position where we're learning from fans. There's no better person to sit down and talk to than someone, whether it's you're sitting in the 300s, you're sitting in a suite, you're sitting along the glass. They all have a different perspective. They all are spending their hard-earned money to come and watch our team play on the ice, but also to give us feedback on the fan experience. And I really believe that this is an area of focus across the league. When I was in December at the Board of Governors meetings with all the teams and ownership and management for 2.5 days, biggest topic was fan experience. What do you do from the time a fan walks out of their car till they get back in their car? What are you able to provide from an entertainment? I mean, these are all important things. And to your point, if you sit in our boardroom a few times a year and you have some different, you know, advisory boards, call whatever, fan boards, however you want to say it, and you just ask questions and then you sit back and listen, you're going to learn so much. So I think that's definitely an area in our organization that we want to move towards.
And I know a part of that is arena issues. And I know that the Pegulas had a private study going on to talk about and to figure out what they can do to better improve the arena and things like that. Can you at least give us an update maybe on where those things stand?
Yeah, there's a study similar to New Era Field that's being done. I can't get into it right now. The results haven't all come through, but it's definitely an area that organizationally, once we get all that feedback, we'll look into. But we understand, and I think that goes back again to part of it's the study, part of it's the fan survey. What are fans telling us? Where do they see maybe some things that they'd like different? And then it's also learning around the league. And that's one thing that Kim's done a great job with our staff is to say, okay, let's get out there in different teams in the National Hockey League. Let's go see other buildings. What can we learn from them? I've done a number of different stops this year with teams and sat down with them and then looked at their buildings. So that's all part of this process as well.
That survey, Bills and Sabres, was really extensive. Mm-hmm. Too long, I couldn't get through the whole survey. But the idea of that kind of survey, could you, would you, when the season's done or before the season's over, do a similar type survey to your point about what do you do from when they get out of their car to when they get back in their car? Could you do that kind of extensive survey, encompassing everything with fan experience to get a really good feedback from the fans after this season is over?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's, like I said, you have to listen. We all have ideas, but sometimes you're so close to it that you may miss things that you just don't even come to you because you're in it every day. So I think the more we can do to get feedback, and we do that. We have a great marketing department. Our analytics department does a great job. And, you know, our executive team at Pegula Sports and Entertainment is very talented, and there's a lot of great people over there that can do this type of work. So the more we can learn, the better. I'm all about it. And, kind of my feeling is if we're a little better today than we were yesterday and you just keep winning those small battles along the way, they add up to bigger ones.
If you were still playing today and coach said, all right, Eichel's on the ice, get out there, Adams, check him, what would you do?
Well, I wouldn't check him because he's stronger than me. So I would.
How would you defend him?
You know, he's an amazing player. Sometimes those type of guys are so dangerous because they can play any style. You know, he has the puck on his stick all the time. when I would get challenged, and that was really my role as a player, was, you know, that checker, and you know that was my job, and that's how I kept my job. I just tried to make their life miserable, you know, never give them a second. If they had the puck, I was in their face, and by the end of the night, they were so sick of me that they might cross-check me in the back and take a penalty. I mean, that was always my mentality. Do not give them space.
You're like Brad Marchand Light here, or what?
Well, yeah, but not nearly not as good of a player, bench, just so you know. He's pretty good.
Last night's goal, set play? We were talking about it. The overtime goal, was that a set play?
Well, you know, you've seen overtime evolve.
Yeah.
And actually, it was really cool because I was standing next to Gary Bettman in overtime, and I said, Gary, you know, how do you like this for the league? He goes, man, it's so different. It's awesome. And I think he told me 62% of overtime games are decided now before the shootout. Mm-hmm. It's just such different strategy. It's hold on to the puck. It's throw it back to your goalie. It's wind it up. It's see where you can, you know, even utilizing certain guys to take faceoffs and then get other guys on the ice. I mean, it's a whole different strategy. But, you know, hockey's unique in the set play, but there's a lot of you're trying to do certain things and draw guys. And obviously the way that kid shoots the puck, if you can get it to him, it's
no doubt,
be all
no
right.
doubt. So the you were there the other night with Sean McDermott. They showed you on the broadcast. Did he tell you who they're signing in free agency? Did he tip his hand, give you any good secrets you could share with us?
Yeah, turn the, you know, let's get into this later.
We turn the mic up and tell us in the break?
Yeah, Sean, what a great guy. And what struck me sitting with him was he's always learning. You know, he was watching the coaches and saying, oh, that's interesting to see how they walk up and down the bench. Just a phenomenal guy.
Wow. And I'm glad you brought that up, Howard. What is the synergy like with PSE, with the Bills, the Sabres? Obviously, you're more on the hockey side of things, but what is that synergy like between the organizations?
You know, I think that's a area of focus from Terry and Kim is how can we all help each other be better? We all work for Terry and Kim Pegula, and I think that the more collaborative we are and the more that we share and the more that we can learn from each other, the better. So that's definitely an area that we're working on.
All right. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for
having
me.
Always nice to see you.
Yeah, anytime.
Thanks for going just the wedding ring. You got that, right?
Yeah,
that's it.
Wedding ring. Okay. And maybe next time. You know, just so I can show it to you.
That's fine. You don't really have to bring that in. It was a tainted.
June 19th. I wear it every June 19th because that was the day. So I'll make sure I
on the ring,
you
does
have
it
me
say
there.
Tainted next to the cup? I mean, it's not the Astros cheating for a World Series, but,
you know,
I mean, come on.
I sleep well at night knowing that we earned it.
I bet you do. I don't. So thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.